I always had this complex about being half Indian, because I'd always heard that half-breed Indian boys are the worst, because they'll get into trouble and the full-bloods don't accept them, and then the Anglos don't accept them.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories, true stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
My name is Larry Hawkins. First name is Byron. My aunt gave me that name. Born and raised in Oklahoma. I'm half Chickasaw and was raised Chickasaw. I was born in Tullahoma, Oklahoma, and that's where most of the Indian folks were born during the time that I was born. I was born in 1941. My mother's name was Folsom. Her name was Mary Folsom. She was a full-blood Chickasaw woman. And her husband was Anglo. And so whenever I was born, my biological father questioned her and decided that I was not his offspring, and did not want me to live with the family, didn't want me as a son. And so my mother gave me away to the Hawkins family when I was 6 weeks old. And so from the time I was 6 weeks old until I was about 10 or 11, I thought that I was a Hawkins. The only real father that I knew or called him my dad was named Bill Hawkins. He was a full-blood Chickasaw man. My mother was Dora Hawkins, and she was half Mississippi Choctaw and half Chickasaw. So I always call her Mom. And people always ask me, said, well, is Mary your mom? Well, no, she's my mother. She bore me. So she's my mother. I can't, I have to acknowledge that, because she is my mother. But it takes more than just being a mother to be a mom. Dora was my mama. I was bonded with her, and my life was with her. And she and I bonded together, you know. And so when my dad died, my mom said, you know, I've got to make a living for these two boys, and so I need to move to Ada and get a job and make a living. And so that's what we did. And that's when we moved to Ada, and she got a job, made a living for us. And at that time, my biological parents came to my school and tried to kidnap me from my school, which frightened me to no end. And I recall that day just like it was yesterday, and school was over, and I came walking out, and they had one of my uncles in the car who was at that time, he was drunk, and they had used him, because I knew him very well, to try and pick me up. And it scared me so bad that I remember running, turning and running away, and ran right into my principal, the grade school principal, and he asked me what was wrong, and I told him that these folks were trying to pick me up. And so he told me to go into the school. And I remember running into the school, and I would run all the way down to the basement. And I found some chairs, and I hid behind the chair, and I was so afraid, so scared. And after a while, I heard somebody hollering my name, and when I went, it was the principal, and he said, everything's all right. And I lived about, five or six blocks away, and I remember I ran all the way home just as hard as I could run. So anyway, later on, we had a custody trial, and I ended up living with my mother and finishing school. I had gone to school all most of my life, and I graduated. But whenever I was younger, my dad didn't want me to go to school because he said I would lose my Indian ways, which basically meant I'd lose my language. But my mother, being the way she was, she decided I needed an education, so she took me in and enrolled me in school. And I actually was older than the kids that I went to school with, and because I was 20 years old when I graduated out of high school. But I always try to encourage the kids, telling them that they need to stay in school regardless of how old they may be. It's important to get your education and to finish school. I always had this complex about being half Indian, because I'd always heard that half-breed Indian boys are the worst, because they'll get into trouble and the full bloods don't accept them, and then the Anglos don't accept them. And I had this complex about being half Indian, and I thought I had to do things to show that I was tough, or had to show that I was angry and those kinds of things. So I got mixed up with alcohol, and I never became a total blown alcoholic, but I always had in mind that that's probably what I would be because of who I was. But that's just a trick of society, I think, because I believe a person can be whatever they want to be regardless of who they are, if you make up your mind that you want to succeed in life. And so after high school, I went and joined the National Guard. I joined the National Guard when I was a junior in high school. And I spent 25 years in the National Guard and Army Reserve. And I was an enlisted man for 6 years. Then in 1966, I decided to go to officer school and became an officer. And one of the funny things about becoming an officer, before I could graduate from officer school, I had to have a birth certificate, and I didn't have one. And so I went to Vital Statistics and to get my birth certificate, and I found out my name was different on my birth certificate. My name on my birth certificate at the time was John Edward Folsom. And on that birth certificate, my mother had put down my grandfather as my father, whose name was Charles Folsom, because my biological father would not accept me as his son, I presume. That's the reason why. So I had to go to the process in 1966 to get my name changed to Byron Larry Hawkins. And I always tell a funny story. I told my wife that if she didn't want to be married to me, now was the time to make up her mind. She and I got married. I married a half Chickasaw woman. We got married in 1963. My wife and I grew up in church, my wife more so than me. I grew up in the church. I knew what the church was. And I always thought that I was a Christian because I grew up in church and went to Bible school and those kinds of things. And I always had a difficult time whenever I did something wrong, because I felt like that God didn't like me when I did something wrong. And so that went on for many years. And then after my wife and I got married, we got involved in evangelism. And during the time we were doing evangelistic work, we realized that we had never made a profession of faith in Christ. Now, during the time that we went to church, she and I made decisions, and I was baptized about three or four times. But baptism doesn't give you salvation, and I found that out later on. So one night, my wife and I both, and you don't have to get on your knees, but we did. We felt that we needed to, and we got on our knees and we prayed and asked the Lord to come into our hearts and save us, and that confessed to him that we were sinners and save us. And he did. He came into our lives and he changed our lives, and We became Christians then, and we became a part of God's working team, I want to call it, I guess, and we've always served him that way now. And it's been a joy. There have been tough times. I believe that lots of times you don't always understand what God's trying to tell you, but if you feel in your heart or think in your heart that you're not saved, he's always willing to take you when you confess. When I was about 13 or 14, I think, we had a meeting at our church, and there's three or four of our boys there, and the preacher was preaching about hell. And he made hell a terrible place. And as a young boy, I knew that wasn't a place that I would want to go. I mean, you know, it just sounded so bad. And so I remember coming down the aisle in tears, and the minister asked me if I wanted to be baptized. And I said, yes. But I never really asked the Lord Jesus to save me. And so I was baptized, but I couldn't figure out why I was baptized, but still I'd go out and drink alcohol, or as far as smoking and those things that I thought were bad, I was still doing those things. I remember many times as a young man and drinking a bottle of beer and asking God, said, if you're really God, would you take this bottle of beer out of my hand? Would you just remove it? But I didn't belong to him, or I wasn't a Christian at the time, so he never convicted me to the point where I could set it down and quit. But after I became a Christian and asked him to come into my life and save me, then I began to have these feelings of remorse when I did something that was against God's will. And I think that's the difference between a real Christian and a person who is not a Christian. I think growing up, I saw, and we kind of put things a little bit different. You know, you see people who go to church all the time, and they're always coming to church and things, but they do things that are not what we call Christian sometimes. They still do the things that they always done. And I didn't want to be that way. If I wanted to be a Christian, I wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember those folks that came to church once in a while, and you would ask them if they're a Christian. They'd tell you they were, but yet they still did other things outside of serving God. And it was kind of a disappointment to me. It discouraged me to see that happening, you know. But I feel like that once I became a Christian, I wanted to dedicate my whole life to serving him, even though I didn't always feel worthy, or even though I didn't feel like I knew how to serve him. I tried to do the best I could. And later on, of course, I found out that the Bible says that we're saved by grace, which means we didn't have to do anything for God to love us and to save us, but that by faith we trusted him and asked him to save us. And that's what he did. I think the best thing that I can say to you is to tell you that God loves you and that God cares for you. And in the Bible, in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, me being the world, and that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and we can interject whosoever with our name, that if Larry would believe, Larry will be saved, Larry will have everlasting life. And so that one little scripture tells us that God loves us very much, and that he cares about us regardless who we are, what race we may be, or what condition that we may be in. that God loves us, and that regardless of where you are or what you're doing, God can still save you and change your life. The Bible says that Jesus died for our sins, and that he is the, in John 14, I believe, he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And so there is no other way to be saved, or as we say it, born again in Christian terms, except faith in Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the light. As we were saying a while ago in John 3:16, he said we would have everlasting life. So I believe that as a person, before we even accept Christ as our Savior, we are taught that there is eternal life. And there are only two places that, whether you believe in Christ or whether you are saved or whether you, what we call lost without Christ, that you will spend eternity in one or the other place, one in heaven or hell. And so Christ died for us. He went to the cross, shed his blood, that we could have eternal life in heaven if we put our faith and trust in him. I think probably that I've experienced in my life a lack of love. I think, and I'm not sure that all Indian folks are that way, but most Indian folks are stoic in their character, and they don't always show a lot of emotion. I knew my mother loved me, and but she never really said that she did. And I recall when we were at a meeting one time, and I went to her and told her that I loved her, and she said, "Well, I've always loved you," but you know, she was a little hesitant about hugging me or those kinds of things. And I really felt abandoned by my biological parents. I recall one time that after I accepted Christ as my Savior, I went to my biological mother and told her that I forgave her of what she did. I didn't understand it at the time because I didn't know why she would have done such a thing, but I didn't question that. I just told her that I want her to know that I didn't hold anything against her for what happened. And so there were times in my life growing up that I couldn't figure out or I couldn't understand why I was the way I was or why my mother would have abandoned me or my father did not want me. But also in terms of that, I found out that when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he became my father, and he made a promise that he would never leave me or he would never abandon me and that he would always be with me wherever I go. And so that gave me confidence and gave me a desire to live life to its fullest. I guess that if I had any recommendations, or if I had to make tell someone what to do about their life, would be to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because he makes the difference.
He does make the difference, and not just in Larry's life and my life and the lives of so many that we've met on this program through the years. He can make a difference in your life too. Each of us has stories to tell because of what we've experienced, but our stories begin to take on eternal significance when we humble ourselves before God and choose to walk with Him. He forgives us and enables us to forgive. He gives us peace and the power to change. Are you interested? Larry spoke about this salvation that God offers us through Jesus Christ and the choice that we have to make. So, what about you? What will you do with Jesus? God tells us in His Word, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If you'd like to know more, visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life, or download the Storyteller radio app and choose Hope. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.